Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Number 15, Matthew chapter number 15, starting at verse number 16, when you have it, say amen. All right, it's on the screens if you don't have it. Matthew chapter number 15, starting at verse number 16, and the word of the Lord reads, it says, "And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the drought? For those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat without unwashing hands defileth not a man." You can be seated in the presence of our living God. And what we're working with on today is we're talking about commandment or tradition. As we continuously push through, our current sermon series, which is talking about paying attention. And it's so imperative that we pay attention, because think about it, all the different things, when we fail to pay attention, just like the first word of the phrase pay, we tend to pay for the lack of paying attention. You know, for example, I can recall when I failed to pay attention to my Duke energy bill. when I failed to pay attention to that due date that it was supposed to be paid, then guess what? We paid a cost. You understand? Those of us, we understand down in Charlotte, right? Because they got some people that stay up there in the Statesville area. I don't know if y'all have Duke Energy. We do. Now, there was something that Duke Energy would allow you. You don't necessarily have to pay your entire bill, right? And they would let you pay like your past due and you keep it on, right? And I can remember a time where I needed to pay just my past. So I was like, I'm going to pay this past due to keep this thing going, right? And when I failed to pay attention to the due date, meaning pay attention to the details, then guess what? I paid for that, because what I was not expecting to pay, I had to pay. Oh, yeah, I said, now y'all not going to talk to me right there, right? You had already budget, you already planned that, listen, I got this money set aside to do this right here. And now, because of my failure to pay attention, I'm actually having to pay for this. Because now I got to try to figure out how to take money from other places that was budgeted for certain things. And now I'm making makeup for this mistake where I failed to pay attention. And then in our society, you got children that are just zealous, or they seem to be hyper. And society tells them, okay, you know what? Well, they need medicine, right? So they're basically getting you to pay for medication so your children can pay attention, right? So think about it. The phrase itself, you're going to pay one way, shape, form, or another. You're going to pay. Whether you fail to pay attention, you're going to pay, or there's another means that will cause you to actually pay in order to pay attention. Now, this is my thing. I at one point in my life, I believe I learned from other people's mistake. I think I'm quite there now. Considering my age, I think I'm there now. You know, that was when I was about 20 years old, and the Lord came and he checked me real good. He was like, no, you've been lying to yourself. You don't learn from people's mistake like you think you do. Right? Because that was me. Like, I don't have to go through different hard. Just learn from somebody else. What you see them go through, you learn from their mistakes. Right? Now, granted, the Lord would say, he said, there's some things that you learn, but for the most part, the thing you learn from every mistake that you see, no, that's not you. Right? And so what I'm trying to say is you can actually pay attention to what other folk are doing, and you can learn from the mistakes that you see other people make. So paying attention to the things that other people, it can save you some heartache, and it can show them to save you some pain. Y'all not going to talk to me right there. So understand, even when the scripture talks about how the older women are supposed to instruct or help teach the younger women, you know, it's putting women in there. And think about it, it's using that gender. But we understand it's not just older women that are supposed to teach younger women. We understand older men are supposed to help instruct us younger men as well. So, and the thing is, by them being older, they got some experience. They've lived a little bit longer than some of us who are a little younger than them. So they can teach us some things. But like we talked about in Bible study, those of us that are young and those of us that are young at heart, some of us, we still deal with a whole lot of pride. And so we still think we know it all. But it's nothing like life breaking you down a little bit. You know, when life gets the best of you, when life starts throwing you curveballs and you have no responses or no answers for these curveballs, and the best thing you know to do is just get in the corner somewhere and begin to just cry, like, you know, you just, like your whole world is falling apart, you understand? And you got this look on your face when you look at certain people, like, go ahead and say it, I told you so. No, it ain't about it, I'm telling you so. Ain't even about that. I don't even get it. I'm at a point in my life where you don't even get satisfaction out of telling folk I told you so anymore. I'm at the place in my life where I just want you to succeed. I just want you to be better. I just want you to have better, do better in life. So I don't get no satisfaction out of telling folk I told you so. What is that? Me telling you I told you so is not going to help what you're going through right now. Right. But if I can get you to pay attention to the details, because like we say, it's the details that makes the difference. It's the details that makes the difference. For example, when you read certain instructions on different quizzes or tests that you have to take in school, if you fail to pay attention to the details of what's being asked of you, see, I've been there, was simple tests. It wasn't pages on a book. It was a verbal test where the teacher came in and said, do da 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 da, right? And if you came in and did any other thing than what she said, she was showing us how important it was to hear and pay attention to the details. And this was a real test. I remember failing. I was like, so I couldn't get my pencil. You come in to my take a test. We about to have a test. So I'm trying to get prepared. She said, well, the test was hearing what I said to you. So, you know, I couldn't let that go. Like, hold up. Like, so because I'm trying to go in my book bag and get a pencil to be prepared for the test, I failed the test. You failed the test because it was a verbal. Right. And then she started breaking it down. The test was designed to see how well you pay attention to the details. So finally, I just had to give in because I wasn't going to win that argument. As good as the debater I think I am, I was not going to win that argument. Sometimes you just got to come to grips and come to terms with, hey, you're not going to win this. Just go ahead and accept what it is. You failed the test. And I didn't like that because I felt like, okay, well, generally test taking is requires me pencil, paper. No, I didn't like that. So understand, it is important that we pay attention to the details. The details are what's going to make the difference. Amen. So we're talking about commandment or tradition. When you think about tradition, tradition can be anything that has been written or anything that has been spoken. That is something that's done consistently over a significant amount of time. Right. Think about it. We all may have different types of tradition. Most of us have Christmas tradition, Thanksgiving traditions in and of your family. You know, different traditions that you may have. Right. So it's something that has been written or something that has been spoken or something that has just been done for a significant amount of time, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your culture, whether it's in the church per se. We all have traditions, right? But the thing is, we're asking commandment or tradition. And when you think about commandment, it is something that has been commanded by God, or it's a charge that is given by God. So which holds, or which one is more important? Would it be the commandment that's spoken by God, given by God, or is it the tradition? And so Jesus is in this particular passage of scripture. Jesus is having a conversation with some of the elders in the church, and some of the elders, they take issue with his disciples. Right. And the issue is, OK, it's tradition that we wash our hands before we eat. Right. And so they're saying, OK, well, why aren't your disciples washing their hands before they eat? And so their understanding is, OK, if you don't wash your hand and you go eating your food, sticking your food in your mouth, then guess what? You're eating unclean food. So this is going to defile you. But I like Jesus. What folk don't understand about Jesus, Jesus is a debater, a natural debater. He begins debating. He said, okay, you saying my disciples transgress, and I like the fact that he's an advocate for his disciples. He took up for them. You're not about to bully my disciples. I like it. I love it. You're not about to bully my disciples. Let me come to their defense. So you saying, or you got this issue that my disciples are trespassing against the tradition. Well, what about you? He said, well, what about you when you trespass against the commandment of God with your traditions? All right, come on. See, the thing that mattered to them was the tradition. Okay, since you want to talk about tradition, we're not going to get away from what you like or what you think is important. I'm going to let you understand and see how your tradition is a trespass against my God's commandment, my Father's commandments. How you like me now? That's what Jesus just dropped in their lap. You trying to drop this in my disciple? Let me drop this in your lap. Well, your traditions is making you trespass against my Father's commandment. What commandment is he talking about? He's talking about, okay, you know, in Jewish culture, it is a commandment. It's given a word that the children are to take care of the parents. When the parents become older, the children are responsible for taking care of the parents. But they're bold. These elders are bold. They begin to say, well, it is an honor if I take care of my parents. They should receive that as a gift. So if I have the means to take care of them and if I decide to do it, then they should look and they should receive that as a gift from me. No, but culture demands, it is commandment by God, children, take care of your parents. So your traditions are causing you to trespass against the commandment of God. So which weighs heavier on you? Will it be the commandment of God or will it be your traditions? Because think about it. When I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, there were some certain traditions that I might have had. Even when it comes to church, grew up in church, you know, got saved a couple times before I got saved real good. You understand, got saved a couple times when I was a teenager. And then, you know, different things would pull me in and out of the church. I wasn't in love with God like that, like I am now, right? So things would pull me out. People would pull me back out, right? And so part of that was my tradition. Stay saved for 2 weeks, then I'm back out. Good 2 weeks, and then I'm back out, right? And when I was saved for those good 2 weeks, you know, believe I was loving God real good. Inside, housed inside of that 2 week tradition was, okay, well, come to church. And my tradition was to sit on the back row and look cool. Just, you know, hey, this is me with my arm on top of the bench, right? I'm trying to imitate it for y'all. Like, this is my arm, like, and I'm chilling, just looking around while everybody else is just engaged in the service. They're participating in the service, but my participation is just looking cool. And I'm scoping. That's a Florida term, scoping, meaning I am looking. Now, I'm saved, but I'm looking at what I can look at and it's trying to see who I can see, who would be interested in me. So I was scoping while I was supposed to be in church. So that was a tradition housed inside of my 2 week, I'm supposed to be saved, tradition. Another one of my traditions was, okay, you know what, if the song moves me, you know, if I liked it, if it got the right beat, like, you know, I love them old songs, them, them old songs with the guitar just thump, 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 you know, stuff like that. And now that would make me get them just, ah, I like that, yeah, I would just, oh. And so, you know, I had an older pastor who loved singing old songs like that, and he would get up and sing them songs, and I'd be like, oh, that's it right there, like, but I can tell you nothing he preached about. But I like how he would sing that song, and he got the raspy voice and the, I like that. I was like, yeah, I like this, boy. So that was part of my tradition, to get up and you only clap so much, you know, participate so much. But when you think about it, commandment or tradition, which weighs heavier? Is it the commandment of God or is it going to be your tradition, the tradition of men? Which one will be heavier inside of your life? So as I got saved, I'm talking about saved for real, the commandment of God weighs more on me than traditions of men now. In other words, I live my life based upon what God speaks. What is God saying? What has God commanded or charged me to do? This is how life is lived now. I'm living according to the word of God. So the commandment of God takes precedent over traditions of men. Right? We can have certain traditions, whether certain things that you've seen in and of your household, how your parents might have raised you based upon how your grandparents might have raised them. So certain traditions are developing. So guess what? There are certain traditions that I saw inside my household. There are certain traditions that I saw with my grandparents and stuff. But guess what? My traditions, they had to just be pushed aside based on commandment. Certain things have to be done away with because of commandment. I don't care if this is just what we do. Just think about it. That's how some people say, well, this is just what we do. Well, some of the things that we just do has to change now that I'm living under the commandment of God. Certain traditions just has to be changed. Some traditions I'm just never going to do anymore, right? Because it goes against the commandment of God. It goes against the commandment of God, right? So this is what's taking place in Scripture as we find ourselves here in verse number 16. It says, and Jesus said, are ye also without understanding, right? And so they just cannot wrap their head around what Christ was actually saying to them, that a man is not defiled because he did not wash his hand based upon the things that you think he's defiling himself because he's eating with dirty hands. No, we're going to dig into this thing a little deeper is what Christ is letting them understand. So he's asking them the pertinent question, are you without understanding? Standing. When it comes to the commandments of God versus tradition of man, so if I'm talking to you about the commandments of God, I am going to ask you the same question that Christ asked the elders. Elders denoted that these were learned men who understood the ways of God, who understood the scriptures of God, right? They were very familiar with the scriptures of God. But he said, okay, are you so wrapped up in yourself that you are without understanding? Do you not recognize the deeper truths about the word of God or about yourself? Because it's one thing to know scripture. Some of us know scripture like the back of our hand, but you don't know you like that. Right? And we boast and brag about how much scripture we can quote, memorize, spit out of our mouth. And it can't hardly make too much application of it, but you can quote it just like that. You can give me almost all of Isaiah, but you can't really live none of it. You understand what I'm saying? And so I don't care how much words you know can spit out, how much words you memorize over the years, can rehearse all these different things. It lets me know you really don't know you. And if you really don't know you, it's safe to say that you really don't know anyone else around you. Right? Because if you fail to know you when you are just like the people around you, then it's safe to say you really don't know the people that live amongst you. So that's the thing. Are you without understanding? And we say things like, I'm just trying to get an understanding. What understanding are you really trying to get? Most of us are really trying to get an understanding, something that is pleasing to us, something that is going to satisfy us, something that is going to make us feel like we won the argument or we won the debate to make us seem right or feel right. That's the only understanding that you get. You're not trying to get an understanding where we can walk away and have peace. Right. As long as you feel like you won, got the most points in the arguments, that's the only thing that you're trying to get an understanding about. Sometimes you're just trying to get an understanding to figure out, OK, what your next move in the conversation is about to be. Well, I'm just trying to understand what you're trying to say. But you haven't shut your mind down. You haven't shut your questions down. You haven't shut your argument down at all. So you're not really trying to get an understanding so that we can walk away and have true peace. You're trying to get an understanding of how you're going to maneuver in the conversation, what your next point is going to be. What your next phrase is about to be. So he's asking them, are ye also without understanding? And the truth be told, as smart as most of y'all are, with all your degrees, you really don't have an understanding. You don't have an understanding about theology, theos denoting God. And even when you talk about us, man, per se. You know, man is anthropology, right? That's man, right? Got to get my sciences right. Got to get my science. I'm pretty sure it's anthropology, man. Right? Anthropology, right? Yeah. So well, you know what I'm saying. We don't have a good understanding about theology denoting God, and we don't have a good understanding about anthropology. Yeah, man. Okay, good. Huh? Anthology. Well, I was close in the same ball. Y'all know what I'm saying. Anthology then. The study of man, the understanding of man. We don't have a good understanding of who we are as individuals. Think about it. A lot of us think we know ourselves. Really? If you knew yourself, then you would know. Guess what? What you like last year may change when the new year comes. From your wardrobe to your palate, what you like to eat, you know what I'm saying? Your weight might change, you know what I'm saying? You might change your hairstyle, your color of your hair. You might want to change the color of your eye. All these different things, right? So you really don't know you, because if you knew you, then you would be satisfied with.
Help me, Lord. Come on now.
Or should the question really be, do you like you? Or do you love you? Because when you think about where love comes from, love, because the Bible tells us God is love. Right. Now, society is trying to give us a different definition of what love is. They're trying to tell you love is love is love. No, love is not love. The Bible says God is love. And so now society is trying to tell us love is love and trying to make God be included in their definition of what love is. God is not included in your definition of love. The truth be told, even though God says God, the Bible tells us God is love. And we can look at that as a simple definition of who God is or how God defines the nature of who he is. But the truth be told, it still would be an injustice to God because we don't even have the words to truly to define who God is. Even though he says God is love, something that's simple and direct would still do it an injustice, like trying to describe God, and you just can't put him in words. So are you without understanding? And most of us, we are without understanding. It's just good to say, God, I don't understand. God, you got to help me because I don't understand this right here. For example, when you talk about submitting, I don't understand. When you talk about obeying, I don't understand, God. When you talk about giving, I don't understand, God. When you talk about loving my neighbor as I'm supposed to love myself, God, I don't understand, God. Because how can I love someone else? Well, the truth be told, there are some of us, it's easier to love other people than it is to love yourself. Now, you may not love them how you love yourself. In other words, we treat other people better than we treat ourselves. And I don't have no problem with that. The problem I have is, okay, why can't you love you? Why are you so dissatisfied with you? Have you not taken an understanding? And this is what I'm saying. When you talk about him asking this question, are you without understanding? Most of us have not taken the time to understand who we are, meaning who you come from, where you come from, what was in your family lineage, and just accept some stuff. Because guess what? Who your daddy was, that's inside of you. Who your mama was, that's inside of you. I know you don't want to admit to it, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you the truth. You're always talking about, well, I'm not going to be like my dad. I'm not going to be like my mama. But guess who? When you look in the mirror, I guarantee you are seeing who you said you did not want to be like. And you hate it. But you might as well go ahead and accept it. You are who you are. Because guess what? What's in them, it is in you. So how you was upset about the fact that your daddy lied? Guess what? A lie is somewhere on the inside of you. Upset about the fact that your daddy was a rolling stone, guess what? A potential whore is in you. No, folks think, you think, okay, let me show you. Because see, people always want to look at, okay, whore, you know what I'm saying, in the essence of thinking about, okay, sexual relationship. But guess what? We want to show you that you have whore's tendencies, right? When you're talking about you're committing to a diet, when you call yourself a cheat date, oh, I'm going to go ahead and help you right there. Whenever you release yourself on your cheat date, guess what? Potential whore right there. It's showing you that you have the tendency to cheat. Something is simple with food. You can't even commit to a diet. You understand what I'm saying? Knowing it, this diet, so-called diet, is good for your health, but yet you have worked in your diet, possible cheat day. No, the reality is showing you that you have the tendency to cheat, which is the tendency there is an undercover whore on the inside of you that you don't want to be honest about. Oh, yeah. We have came to the conclusion that we... It's a good place to drop it right here. We have came to the conclusion that one of our up-and-coming series is we're going to deal with the whore in your heart. Yes, we are. We're going to deal with the whore in your heart. Yeah, it's going to be one of the up-and-coming sermon series that we're going to deal with. We're going to deal with that whore that's inside of your heart. Oh, yes. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I know you don't believe it, but oh, yeah. Whore from the pulpit to the door. So they don't talk about stuff like this in church. They just motivate you. And they just tell you, God gonna bless you. You gonna have a night. Now, everybody not having no big house. Everybody ain't having no $1 million in the bank because he said the poor is gonna always be, but somebody's got to be poor. Now, I'm just saying, God, I don't wanna fall in that. No. God, I don't wanna fall in that category, God. Yeah, listen now. But some people, their blessings are messed up because they have denied or they've overlooked the poor. So guess what? Blessing can't come on because you overlook the poor. The book of Proverbs tells you that. And I said, oh, Jesus Christ. You know, when you wind your window up, them folk coming to your car. You be making a straight face like, don't look over there. Don't So I want to go over there. And you want to get all busy and act like you weren't doing nothing. You want to make yourself busy. You just don't want to make no eye contact because something on the inside, it will make you feel convicted. And you start thinking like, God, whew, I'm so glad that's not me. You know what I mean? And you'll possibly want to give. So are you without understanding? Do you truly understand you? The same temper that your daddy had, your mama had, guess what? It's in you. But you try to mask it. I'm not going there with you. I'm not going there with you. One, two. You a grown adult still counting to 10. You still woosah. That don't help you. Because guess what? If you haven't shut your mind down from saying or acting a certain way in your mind just because you haven't did it on the outside, then guess what? The Bible tells you, you be angry. So the thing is, God don't have an issue with you being angry. He said, be angry, but sin not. And so for most of us, the sin takes place in our mind. We have transgressed or cross lines in our mind, meaning we have had inappropriate conversations in our mind. We have did inappropriate things in our mind, all because we're angry. If you thought about hitting them, inappropriate. If you thought about cussing them out, inappropriate. If you thought about going to cheat on them, inappropriate. So guess what? You were angry, but you did what? Cross that line. That's what you did. So the same anger that was in your mama and your daddy, it's in you. It's in you. And we try to act like we're so different from our parents. You just like them. Just like them. Don't rub your eye now, Amanda Bell. Oh, yeah, don't rub your eye now, boo. I'm talking to you. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And I'm talking to me. Oh, yeah. What's in your mama and your dad? It's in you. Yes, it is. I know you don't like it because you want to believe you so different. No, you're not. You just like them. And so are we. We just like our parents. Some of our parents who are not in the kingdom of God, guess what? It's showing you that you have the potential to walk away from God. As prideful as your daddy is, as prideful as your mama, guess what? It's showing just how much pride you deal with on the inside. Your mom and dad and them swear they still know it all. Don't know a bunch of crap. You are potential your dad and a potential your mama. Also, that's why you better thank God for saving you. Because when you look at what's in your family line, see, these are things that God is saving you from. Saving you from, right? Because we talked about, he didn't just save you from these things. God is also saving you to himself. So God, when you look at what's in your line, all you got to do is look at your mama one day and see how your mama be cutting a fool, acting a fool with your dad. It's just, he's saving me from that right there, that right there, that right there. Right? So this is the thing. Are you without understanding? Do you understand who you come from and where you come from? You got to understand it. And some of you, you have to just, okay, you know, for most of us, we can never experience a certain liberty in our life because we have failed to come to terms with this. This is who I come from. This is where I come from. It doesn't mean you have to remain that way. Jesus Christ can bring change about your life, right? But if you can accept the fact and deal with this truth, this is where and who you come from, then guess what? You can experience liberty much quicker in your life, right? Give me my next verse. He said what? He said, do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought, right? So he's talking about, let me give you this. Our definition for attention, right? We're saying, okay, even when you're paying attention, right? It is the act or the state of applying your mind to something. So applying your mind to something, right? And so what are they trying to apply their minds to? The understanding of commandment or tradition. Which weighs more? Which is more important? And that's what we must apply our minds to. Should I obey the commandment or should I continue following the traditions, right? This is the thing. He said, do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the sea? I want us to understand mouth. Mouth in the Greek is defined what? It's defined as, it talks about the thoughts of a man's, one of the definitions, I should say, speaks of this regarding the mouth. Now, we know the mouth is a body part, right? It's a body part that the oracle communication comes from, right? So, understand, this is one of the definitions that speaks about mouth. It says it's the thoughts of a man's soul The thoughts of a man's soul find verbal utterance by his mouth. So it's letting you know that your soul has thoughts, because the soul of a man, the soul of a woman, consists of what? Your mind, which is your intellect, your heart, which is your emotions, and then your will, actions that you carry out, right? But we also told you that your soul consists of what? Appetites, desires, and passions. It also consists of your character. Right. But it's letting you know that the soul of a man, it has thoughts. Right. And these thoughts are giving a verbal, a means of verbal communication or verbal utterance by way of the mouth. Right. So it's letting you know that there was a direct line, a direct correlation between your soul and your mouth, or your heart and your mouth. Because the Bible tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth shall speak, right? But see, we oftentimes relate that when we talk about the heart and the mouth. But have you ever thought about this? Is salvation is hinging on your heart and your mouth. The book of Romans 10 tells us that, okay, salvation is made by the confession of your mouth, but the believing of the faith inside of your heart. So you understand why this is so important, that if the mouth is defiled, if on the inside of you is defiled, then guess what? Only defilement is going to come out of your mouth, because there is a direct line from your heart to your mouth. So this definition in the Greek, talking about mouth, is talking about the thoughts of a man's soul finds verbal utterance by his mouth. The heart or soul and the mouth are distinguished, meaning that your heart and your mouth carry a certain rank over certain over other body parts. In other words, you understand? Your heart and your mouth carry a certain rank over the other body parts. So in other words, you may think your hands are so important. Your hands are important, but it's not more important than your heart and your mouth. Because again, your heart and your mouth is the means by which salvation is received. Your hands can't necessarily get you saved. You can lift them up as I said, I surrender. But if you don't open your mouth and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him up by his spirit, by faith, you cannot be saved. So it's letting you know that your heart and your mouth, they outrank your hands and outrank your feet and outrank your eyes and things of that nature right there. These two body parts are being distinguished. They are recognized more than these other body parts, right? So in other words, I need you to understand that there is no separation between your heart and your mouth. There was a direct line. There was a direct connection between your heart and your mouth. So he says, do you not yet understand that whatsoever entering that the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast into this drought? And understand, the belly we talk about is the place where our spirit man is housed. This particular cavity here houses everything of you, dealing with your whole entire inner man, per se, right? So he's saying these things go off into the belly. So we know whatever you eat, whether you eat it with clean hands, dirty hands, is going into your mouth. And the ending place is to enter into your belly. And then from there, it's supposed to be cast out into the drought. In other words, there was supposed to be a separation. Now, when you think about those things that are cast out, expelled, out into the drought, denoting separation, what? And as we talk about certain traditions in life, what traditions do you still hold on to that has not been separated from you, your spiritual life? And this is what Christ is doing. He's trying to separate their natural traditions that they have as elders from spiritual things. He's saying, okay, you're without understanding because you don't recognize the spiritual side of things, where you continue to just focus on this natural. So thinking that if you eat food with unwashed hands, okay, this is going to defile you. But I need you to see the spiritual truths, or I need you to get the revealed truth. There is a separation that must take place. Have you separated yourself from the traditions that you consistently live by day in and day out? How you carry yourself, how you live day to day, day. Think about it. There are traditions all throughout your day. There are traditions that we do. All these traditions housed inside of the commandments or housed inside of the word of God. Or are they just things that you do because this is just what we did or this is just what we saw? Well, for example, if I ask you, why do you come to church? Why would you come? Some of you come to church. It's just tradition for you to come to church. Hey, Amanda, back again. It's just tradition for you to come to church. Because it's what you were raised in the church. So I don't know nothing else but to go to church on Sunday. Go to church on Wednesday because this is what we did. Okay, but aside from the tradition of what you did, let's see the spirituality. Coming to church on a Sunday, on a Wednesday, or whenever you come to the church doors, you're supposed to be learning and learning how to live a disciplined life. You should be learning life, how to live a life of worship, a life of obedience and submission unto God, how to have intimacy with God, getting closer to God, yielding to God, submitting to God, right? If you're not taking place or doing any of these things in your life, then what good is your tradition just coming to church? Right? I don't think we there yet. I think we there yet. So there must be a separation. Some things must be cast out into the drought. And it doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. It doesn't matter who implemented the tradition. If it's not giving us revealed truth about who God is, if it's not bringing us closer to God, then dare I say some things need to be separated from your life. It needs to just be cast out. Yes. He says what? Go to my next verse. He says what? But those things, right? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So now Christ is giving him the revealed truth of the scripture. Let's deal with the spiritual nature of what's being said. He said, it's not that you're defiled because you eat food with unwashed hands. You are defiled by what's housed inside of your heart. Right? So now heart in the Greek is talking about what? It's the center of all physical and spiritual life. It's the center of all physical and spiritual life. Not only that, it's the seat of your spiritual life. So what Christ is dealing with, no, let's deal with the spiritual nature of things. Because traditions, people want to hide behind traditions and don't necessarily want to deal with the spiritual aspect of things. No, the commandment was, okay, as children, you take care of your parents. This is the commandment of God, right? You don't want to deal with that, but you want to deal with, okay, this something as minute as not washing your hands. Oh, you all got your drawers in a knot. You want to be irate about my disciples and wash their hands, but you're not upset that you're not taking care of your parents. When your parents did everything to take care of you, but that's not upsetting you. You understand? And so think about it. There are certain things in life that don't upset us. Oh, but let somebody step on your brand new shoe. You irate about the scuff mark on your shoe. You understand what I'm saying? Let somebody key your car. You irate about that. But you're not upset how the devil seduced you into being a liar. You're not upset how the devil used you to have lust of the eye. You're not upset how the devil tricked you to cuss in your mind. And for most of y'all, the cuss word didn't just stay in your mind. It came out your mouth. You're not upset about that, how the devil got the best of you 6 days out of the 7 days of this week. You understand what I'm saying? But as soon as somebody do something in the natural, oh, you want to rise up and you got everything to say. You got an attitude. It take three people to calm you down. We got to go walk you over to a corner and say, just take a breath. Just calm down. You know folk are watching you. No. We should have to tell you that this how you should be responding when the devil is acting in your life. You should be like, don't hold me back. That devil trying me. No. See, we so used to calling folk a devil. You understand what I'm saying? But when you have to deal with that real devil, I'm talking about the one that you can't see that's using them folk. So you want to look at them folk, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and all this stuff. I want you to deal with that invisible devil like you trying to deal with this natural folk. Where is that at? You looking for somebody to hold you back. Before you act a fool, you trying to see who close to you so they can hold you back. Like, you want to make sure somebody can hold you back. That's how you know folk ain't real fighters. They're looking for folk to hold them back. And then again, you got some real fighter. I need somebody to hold me back. That's why I don't go play basketball with certain folk. No. See, for example, I'm not going to go play basketball with me and Mike. And Mike is not going to take no offense. Mike will tell you. He'll tell you straight up, I am not a fighter. I am. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, I need that. I need that on my team. Somebody better call the popo. Right. You understand? Hey, because it don't mean I can beat everybody. Some days you got to use wisdom to know when to. Yes. Yes, sir. Mike, go ahead and make that call. Mike, do what you good at. Mike, hit that 911. Mike, you understand? Right? Jason, I can't go play basketball with Jason like that. I probably can't go play basketball with Gene. No. See, Gene be like, well, no, I can take all that stuff. But then there comes a point where Gene does get tired of folk just deliberately fouling him. I'd be already tired. Like, listen. Hey, player, you do that again? Yes. I don't tell you, bro, you do that again, we going to be fired right on this court. You do that again. You push me in my back again. You watch what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? And see, the thing is, because of all of my attention is on this one dude that's guarding me, I have not taken into consideration who this guy has came to the court with. While I'm so locked on him, like, okay, you don't even know who could just run up and just bang, you know what I mean? And if that happened and I'm with Gene and Gene don't do something, I'm going to crack Gene in his head when we get out that gym. Right? But I don't think Gene would do that. I think Gene is going to help defend me, you know what I mean? But then with all his anger raised in, I'm saying, okay, I can't pull him off. So again, we may need Mike. Mike, do what you do. Because I can't get him off of them, Mike. So you got to know who's around you. You know what I'm saying? Where you go, you got to understand who's with you at all time. If something pop off, you got to know your personnel. Like, okay. Right? You got to know that stuff. This is the thing, though. We're so quick to respond to these natural things, but we're never quick to respond to these spiritual things. Why? Think about this. Because again, going back to verse 16, are you without understanding, right? Why are you so easily offended in the natural when we deal with natural things? Conversations that we have to have. Easily offended or defended for that matter, right? But when something transpires in your spiritual life, you're not so offended. If you ever... Because again, he's saying, are you without understanding? Do you not really understand? Y'all are at odds because this invisible devil.
Right.
Y'all are not on one accord because of this invisible devil that y'all keep letting in here. This invisible devil that keep tricking y'all to make y'all think y'all are enemies or feel like y'all are enemies. No, this is the devil. Right. Why are you not offended? Why are you not defended about this devil that's at work? But as soon as you think it's the natural person, because you ain't going to treat me like this, you a lie. And that devil, see, that's me. That devil in you, that devil talking to you, the devil's around your head, floating around your head, talking to you crazy, trying to make you think you're going to talk crazy. All y'all devils a lie. See, that'd be me. I talk like that. When my wife be saying something, or my children. No, all them little devils that's talking to you. The ones that's right on the outside of your ear talking to you. The ones that's in your head talking to you. All them little devils that's talking to you. All you and all them little devils a lie. Right? Don't I be talking like that? That's the crazy stuff like that. Because I know how them little devils be talking to me. Right? But why are we not offended or on the defense when you know, as spiritual as you are, when these little devils are at work? Oh, but let the person that's supposed to be closer, your wife, your husband, say something. You shut down everything. You shut down conversations. Shut down bedroom. Watch. Watch. Now, most men, we get over stuff quickly. Then there were some of us, we hold on to it. Oh, my goodness. We hold on to it. I'm just that one. I'm trying to get over it quick.
Right.
Hey.
Come on now.
Hey. Right. That's my wife, too. She'll be like, come here, give me a hug. I'm like, Richard, don't hug me right now. Let me say what I gotta say, then I'll hug you. No, come give me. By the time she finished hugging me, she started off and we were face to face. By the time she hit my back, is that is that crazy? I'll be acting some days, right? And I'm like, no, just let me say what I need to say, then I'm gonna hug you. Right? I just need you to hear what I need to say. Right? But why are we not offended when it's the enemy that causes us to have a lack of understanding? You don't have understanding because this is the devil that is clouding our judgment. It's the devil that's making us have the wrong perception, perceiving things off and backwards and wrong. Why are we not offended and coming on the defense towards the devil? So he says what? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, the spiritual place of life. And they defile the man, right? These are the things that make the man unclean. These are the things that make the woman unclean. Those things that proceed out of the mouth. And think about it. This word proceed in the Greek is talking about what? It's to come forth from privacy, coming forth from privacy. A private place into the world is what it's saying. When you release things, because again, there was a direct line, a direct connection from your heart to your mouth. So we understand what's coming out of your mouth are words. So the words that were in private thought or the words that were in private emotions, the place that you felt, when they proceed, meaning when they come out of your mouth, they're coming from the private place into the world. And once they're released into the world, yo, I'm sorry, yo, I take that back. You can't snatch that back because it has been released into the world. When we say world, what are we really talking about? We understand there is the natural world when we talk about the earth itself. But when you talk about your world, the communication has just been, something has just been released into your world of communication. Something has just been released into your world of how y'all feel, interpret, and understand one another. In other words, your relationship, your world of relationship between the two of y'all, we have just released words into, from our private realm into this particular world. And now we understand, we should understand why now there is a disruption in our world. The balance of our world has been thrown off now. Because these words that has been released into our world, guess what? They should have remained in private. And if you knew that it were not right, you should have been asking God to deal with you while they were in the private. See, as much as folks say they forgive you, I'm going to go ahead and talk for real. As much as folks say they forgive you, they have not forgotten what you said about them. And guess what? Whenever y'all come to a place where you arguing again in a disagreement, guess what? In the back of their mind, they're trying to wonder whether or not did you mean this or are you about to say something damaging again to them? And so you got to understand, it is this type of behavior like we talked about on Wednesday. See, folk, they love you as their spouse, but guess what? They don't really like you right now. It's because your behavior has turned them off. Your behavior has put a distaste in their mind. I don't necessarily like you because of your behavior, how you have acted towards me, how you have responded towards me. I don't like you because of your behavior. I love you, but I don't necessarily like you right now. And see, people don't want to be real where we have momentary moments of where we don't dislike people. We despise people. We dislike people in moments. And it's because of things that we have brought from the private realm into the world have released based on, okay, well, you shouldn't have did that. Well, no, you should have thought about what you said. It doesn't matter what I did. You should have thought about what you said because you can never take that back. And people are under the assumption because they say, I apologize. Your apology has not made that right. Do you understand? God is going to have to take me through the process of deliverance. I am going to have to be delivered from this hurt and pain that you have caused me that came in the form of words, something that you thought. Because see, now when you understand this, so now that you said it, and because I understand that words proceed or they come forth from the heart. So you've been, how long? See, a person like me, I'm be saying to myself, how long have you been feeling this about me? How long have you been thinking this about me? Now my trust has been violated. My trust level for you is diminishing because I'm trying to figure out, so you've been thinking this and feeling this all this time, and so now this moment you decide to just drop this on me because, okay. So notice how behavior and relationships start changing because what was in your private has come forth. Now we don't see eye to eye things that we just naturally agreed upon. It was just easy for us to communicate. It's such a struggle to just communicate now. And even in communication, where we used to look at each other eye to eye, we wouldn't even look at each other's eyes while we communicate. We're just talking now. where we had respect for one another, I would give you the opportunity to say what's on your chest, and you would give me the opportunity to say what's on my chest. Now, all of this is just consistent cutting one another off, and it's just shutting up. You know what? Whatever. I don't even want to talk no more. You understand? Something has changed because we have released something from the private into our world. What have we have released word, damaging words into our worlds now. Your world inside your head is messed up because you can believe they thought this or felt this. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. Yo. So the fact that these damaging words came forth, you can believe this all this time that we've been together. What? I won't say that about you. Well, that's you. You wouldn't say this. You wouldn't feel this, but it's what I feel. Now, granted, if that's your truth, that's your truth. But we must be careful. And again, KYP, know your personnel. There were some truths. There was some truth. Now, I get it. Certain people say, you know what? There's nothing that I can't tell my spouse. Well, hey, man, good for y'all. Good for y'all. I'm striving to get there. There's just some things I'm not going to tell my wife right now. Especially this, something like this, when there's a certain private thought, emotion or thought that I have, that I understand who she is by me knowing her, I'm not going to say this. I'm going to go to somebody else. Say, listen, man, I'm struggling. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling right now, man. I'm not going to say this to my wife because I don't want to damage my wife. I don't want to wound my wife. And I thank God that she's mindful of me. She doesn't come to me. She'll go and talk to people about things that she may be dealing with concerning me or concerning her. And I'm glad because some stuff she tell me, I'll be like. And then she trying to figure out, well, why is he down there, you know what I'm saying, giving the children their food all hard, you know, just dropping plates on the table, just here. You know, she's trying to figure out why doors are just, cabinet doors and stuff are slamming, you know. Why? Because something that was in your private has just been released into my world. Now, you could say, let's be real, you didn't forget that, what was spoken to you. And what you do not cast down from here enters here. Right. So guess what? Because you didn't forget that, and if it has not been casted down, now you feel a certain way. Right. You feel a certain way because they felt a certain way. So now the only right thing that the devil tells you to do is, well, you need to feel a certain way. Because if they feel a certain way, then guess what? You need to feel a certain way. So then you start looking for ways to feel. You start looking for stuff to hold on to and be like, well, I don't like when you, now you start finding, well, I don't like when you do this. Change it. Your feet stink then. I'm tired of smelling your stinking feet. You just start finding stuff, right? No, I'm telling you a truth. Things that were in the private have not come forth and has been released in your world. This is the proceeding and it came from your mouth. You understand what I'm saying? And you don't understand the weight that it carries by coming from your mouth. For those of us who are married, your spouse is the closest person to you other than God. So when you can say something that's hurtful or damaging to them, whether it is your truth or not, and that's the thing we try to hide about, well, I'm just telling the truth. You know what? Some truth, take it to God. He's the only one that can do something about it anyhow. You just wanted the reality you don't even understand. You were letting the devil use you. Yep. You wanted to bring pain. You wanted to hurt. Because yep. Think about it. When you tired of saying something over and over and over and over again, not getting the results, and you tired of feeling like you crazy, you going to do something. You understand? And the 9 times out of 10, you're going to bring some type of pain because you've expressed you what's being done to you or what is not being done to you is bringing you some type of pain. You understand? So we only know we're reactionary people. If you're giving me pain, then I only know to respond or react with pain back. And that's what most of us are doing. When you release these words that was in your private realm and you release these words into the realm or world, all you're doing is bringing pain, and we hide behind the fact that, well, I'm just being truthful. I'm just trying to be free. I'm just trying to keep it 100. No, no. Behind you trying to be free, keep it real, keep it 100, you had a mindset to hurt. There was an intent to hurt. There was an intent to hurt. Because guess what? Hurt people. And even as much as you've talked about your hurt and you felt like this area over here where you're being hurt is, has not changed yet. So guess what? Your response has been hurt. Whether you intentionally try to hurt or not, guess what? For most of us, hurt is what's coming. And so you wonder why we're not in a better place. Because it's just a revolving cycle of hurt and pain. So he says, these things proceed and they come forth from the heart. And these are the things that make a man unclean. Give me 19. He says what? For out of the heart proceed. Here begins this word proceed, right? These things that are coming forth from your private realm into our world. Out of the heart, this private area, denoting the heart. Your heart is the private area. Out of it are coming what? Evil thoughts. Evil, the meaning hurtful in the Greek. Hurtful thoughts. Deliberating questions about what is true and disputings. So in your private area, meaning your heart, there are hurtful thoughts, right? There are things that you're questioning. And even when you deliberate, you're questioning things to figure out what type of decision must be made based upon the situation, the scenario of what we're currently dealing with. So there's inward deliberation that's taking place. And a lot of times when you deliberate, you're going to deliberate on your behalf. You're going to always give yourself the benefit of the doubt. You're going to always make sure you come out of the situation good. Now, this is the thing. Telling yourself the truth or submitting the truth or coming subject or when you're wrong, telling yourself, okay, you're wrong, go and apologize. See, most of us are not going to deliberate in that manner. There's only a handful of us going to say, you know what the deliberation is? You know what? I'm wrong. I need to apologize. Right. Most of us just expect people to deal with us even in our era. That's true. So what? I was wrong. I don't care. What about when you was wrong? It's always a comeback. Well, what about when you? We're not talking about me. We're talking about you and what you just did. You want to talk about what I did yesterday and what I did this morning? We're talking about right now. What you did right now. Right now, I'm not the one that's wrong. Right now, you're the one that's wrong. And if you fail to deal with my error yesterday or this morning, I'm not saying let me escape, but this is not the time to deal with my error. We're dealing with your error because I chose to deal with your error right when you happened. So he says, but out of the heart, hurtful things. Questioning thoughts mean deliberating or questioning about what is true. So in your private, denoting your heart, your private area, is telling us, the Greek is telling us what? Your thoughts. There were things that we question concerning truth. Not just traditions, but commandments. Not just commandments, word of God. We know the word of God is an error. It has no contradictions, no errors, but we question the word of God. And most of us, we question it based upon how the word has been delivered to us, based upon the person who's given it to us, based upon the revelation or the interpretation that they believe they got from God. We question it. I'm not telling you don't go back and read, because like we talked about the church of Berea, they went back and read and studied the scripture for themselves. Right? But I'm saying straight truth. When I read it, I ain't gave you no interpretation. I ain't gave you no revelation. Why are you questioning that? Right. And notice, we only want to question things that we feel we don't agree with. Right. Things that we feel, well, that don't make sense to me. That just, like, why would God say that? Like, women would question, why you got to be my head? Well, that's how God designed it. Yeah, right. Most men, we don't talk about that, but we question that too. Well, I got to be your head. This is a strong neck, God. You understand? No, for real. See, men, we have to talk like this amongst ourselves. I got a strong neck, cuz. My neck is stronger than my arms. It's like my neck the one that's doing the weight lifting. My neck is strong, cub. Sure. When we talk about neck, we talk about, for those of us that are married, we're talking about you, wife. You're the neck. Oh, yeah, we're talking about you. Strong neck. It's not bad to be strong. You understand? Not bad to be strong. But you must know your position, know your place. Same thing for us as men. We must know our position and know our place, because guess what? For every man, the head of every man is Christ. We still must come subject to Christ. So in what you fail to realize, we serve as a neck to Christ. And for Christ, Christ looking for a strong neck. He wishing, Lord, I wish I had a strong neck. Walk around, Christ walk around like, so I gotta hold my head up. Because he ain't got no man in position. Man, you can't find, see, in the church, you're going to find strong women in the church, but you ain't going to find that many strong men in the church. And Christ is running around. He's spending more time lifting his head up because he got weak men in the church. If we can get some strong men in the church. And the reality, most men are mad at their wives because they wish they had the strength that their wives had, the courage that their wives had. So you're really upset because you're not as strong as her. She's been able to accomplish more than you. She's been able to succeed more than you. She's been more successful than you. Oh, y'all not going to tell her. Oh, she had her own stuff before you ever got in her life. And the truth be told, it looked like her life is declining now that you entered in. And she's trying to say, wait a minute, God. You said when he found me, I know him. A good thing, God, but when he found me, God, he was supposed to get favor. Where's his favor, God? It looked like our life is just holding, like I'm taking steps back instead of taking steps forward. I got a problem with that. See, that's what most women, they got an issue with that, because there was a certain lifestyle that they was used to before you came on the scene. That one too popular right there. But out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, right? And he says, what? Murders. Now, notice most of these things have a S denoting plural. Evil thoughts. So in your private realm, which is your heart, there are a lot of evil thoughts. Not just one. Thoughts. And then he says murders. Murders is simply interpreted slaughter or to slay something or something to be slain. Notice we slay ideas. If it don't make sense to you, if you don't like it, no, that ain't gonna work. That ain't good. I don't like that. Come up with something else. That don't make sense. That doesn't make sense to you. It makes perfect sense to me. It don't make sense to you. Why don't you sit down and ask me how did I come up with this? And understand how I got to this understanding. We be couldn't. That don't make sense. And see, women, y'all don't understand. Not only are you vocal, but you are expressive. You extra. So that all that don't make sense. This right here, when y'all be doing this, oh, that burns a man. I'ma tell you for a man, when you do this, you are burning us up on the inside. Oh, that thing burns us up. I'ma take men, we hate it. We just be trying to keep a straight face. But if you pay attention, just pay attention. Notice, after you did this, his whole breathing has changed. He's not as wide-eyed anymore. His eyes have now gotten tighter. It's like he's looking through a squint now, just. Because he's really trying to focus on not passing out. He's so angry that you just. Because to do that is telling us what we just said. Or it took us all day to come up with that thought. And you just did that. You don't even know what I had to go through to come up with that. And you just go, ow, ow. See, I wish I had some help from the men right there. See, I'm going to be real. It took us all day to come up with that idea that we thought was a great idea. And here you come. Y'all, do that. even if the idea is wrong, the fact that you became extra and did this, that sends us somewhere. That sends us somewhere. And a lot of times we understand where it sends us, we can't tell you where it sent us. Because we know we did it with a strong neck. Because then we'll see it.
You must be crazy up here. You must be crazy up here. Cause I wish you would.
You know how some of y'all got them crooked fingers. You I wish you would. You know I ain't lying. Some of y'all fingers, it go over to the side like it's not straight point. It's like it goes over there. You be like, and y'all will do extra stuff. You'll put this finger out with like, cause I know. You know that extra stuff, like, we pay attention to that. And when you doing that, oh, it just escalates stuff for us. Cause I'm gonna tell you why it escalates stuff for us as men. They may not say it. Because we're looking at, you get to do what you want to do. But if I wanted to do it out, if I get to do what, this whole house would be tore up. I just clean this up. That's how you feel, They ain't gonna tell you. Men want to turn some stuff over because we figure if we just destroy some stuff, that'll get your attention. Because the reality, what we really saying is, baby, if you was this table, that's I would just flip you just like that. I bet if I flip you, you'll shut up. So because I can't flip you, I'm gonna flip something else. Something else that ain't gonna talk back. Something else that ain't gonna try to fight back. I'm gonna kick this chair. Oh, yes. You don't understand, when things like that happen, men and women, we are murdering our understanding. We are murdering our peace. We are murdering us being on one accord. We are murdering us having a good working relationship. We are the ones who are killing it because we have not dealt with private. That's why we tell you, we're not trying to set you up where you want to be a public success and live a private mess. No, you better deal with your private. That's why I tell praise and worship. I say, you ain't about to come practice on me. Because if you're not worshiping and praising God in your private, you ain't about to come in no public to my gift. Shut up. Right? No, you better do it in your private before you come do it in the public. So he said, murders are coming forth. Then he says, adulteries are coming forth. And simply put, we know what adulteries are. Committing adultery. Whether that be committing adultery on our actual spouses, whether that be committing adultery towards God. Chasing after other gods. Right? And then he talks about what? Fornications. And think about it. Like we said, society is trying to redefine what love is. The nature of what God is. So they tell you, okay, fornication is not. So we see society having what? Women having fornication with women. Men having fornication with men. There's fornication taking place with transgender now. We don't know what they was. We're still trying to figure out what some folk are. Not only that, family members, so incest and pedophilia. So not only that, we also see folk having fornication with toys. Oh, yes, it's real. Folk having sex or fornication with machines now. A bunch of sex, so you know, they got these little sex dolls now. Because you know what? They trying to replace y'all women. You already outnumber us men in the world anyhow. That's why it's so easy for you. See, society has even made it more easy for a man to cheat. Why? Because there is a shortage of men in the world. So now you see, now you can scroll on Facebook and you see this idiotic stuff talking about polygamy. Let's get back to our roots in Africa. Well, I wish a woman, well, I don't know. I don't want to share that. Now, I don't want no other woman in the house. No, I don't. I don't want no other woman in the house, right? Some man may think he do. But for the fact that these women, black women, we getting back to our roots, our African roots, we going to share this man. There ain't enough man in him to go around between the two of y'all. And then when you add five of y'all in the house, sister wives and stuff, so you got this type of fornication going on. And society is telling us this is okay. This is not okay, right? To have sex with all these different, you know what to call it. And then, so out of the heart also comes thefts. How many times have we stolen peace, stolen understanding from in our own house? How many times have you were the thief? You thinking, okay, well, no, I paid my tithe. Yeah, but you stole my peace. I don't have peace in my home right now because of you. When I said, just leave it alone. No, no, no. You wanted to Kevin Hart me. No. We're going to talk about this.
No, let's pause for the cause and come back.
Now, we're going to talk about this. You stole my peace. So you're a thief. You got me so emotional. You stole my time that I would lay before God. So now your thefts are now messing with me and God. Because we tell you what you do don't just affect you. It affects everybody that's connected to you. Now, see, now God is affected because guess what? You stole my time. I was so old, I didn't even want to get in the presence of God because you messed me up so bad. What you said to me messed me up so bad. I'm so emotional. The time that I would take and lay before God, or the time that I would take in prayer, or the time that I would take and study my word, I'm not even doing it because you got me so thrown off. You are a thief. It's coming from your heart, right? And then he says, what? False witnesses. In the Greek, it's talking about saying hurtful, despising things. Basically, just this lying things. Notice. Things that we say. And a lot of things that we say, they come from the place of an assumption. And we told you, according to the book of Proverbs, God said an assumption is a bad understanding. Stop assuming stuff. Rather than assume it, if you want to know, just ask the question. And most of our assumption has caused us to flow where we're actually causing false witness or blasphemies upon people. Things that we've entertained, things that we've seen in the house. Because you saw your spouse do stuff. You saw your children do stuff. And rather than asking, you assumed it was this. For example, I walked up on Shekinah the other day, Shekinah's homeschool, and because she was fidgeting with the computer, moving all quick, like, I could have easily assumed that she was looking at something inappropriate. I didn't assume anything. I just walked up on her. You okay? You doing your work? And see, I was going to let her speech and her body language tell me the truth, because she already know I'm discerning you. You okay? You doing your work? Yes, Daddy. Which ended up being the truth. But having an assumption, I could have automatically assumed that she was looking at something inappropriate, and I could have wounded her by saying, you were looking at something. Because you know what, parents, we're going to say, shut up. Right. You be quiet. You ain't got nothing to say. And then they never get to explain that stuff, because as a parent, you don't want to hear the explanation. Well, how would you ever know? Drill Sergeant, stop. Stop, Drill Sergeant. So as a parent, how would you ever know what the child was thinking or feeling if you never give him an opportunity to explain? They don't necessarily have to explain in that moment. Give some time so you can cool off, mama, daddy, but then give them an opportunity to explain. Why did you do what you did? I want to understand, right? See, most of us, we just think what they did was so idiotic and stupid, we don't want to understand why they did what they did. That'd be me. I don't want to understand no bad understanding. I don't want to understand that. You keep a bad understanding away from me. Ain't nothing I want to understand about that. See, that'd be me. But how are you going to be able to relate to your child if you don't understand their mode of thinking, how they think, what's pulling on them, what they feel about certain things? So I'm learning, right? So rather than give false witness or even blasphemy, I had to not flow in an assumption. Because this is coming where? From your heart. So it's letting us know that we have private assumptions that are housed inside your heart, right? In my last verse, he says what? These are the things which defile a man. And so if we don't, going back to the term and series title, pay attention to those things, those evil thoughts, right? Those murders, those adulteries, those fornications, those thefts, those false witnesses, those blasphemy, all of those things which are plural. If you fail to pay attention to these things, this is how you become defiled. So Christ there is by saying, you know what? But to eat with unwashed hands, this is not what's defiling you. Now, I'm not telling y'all to go start eating your food with dirty hands. I'm not telling you that. Because you still have to pay attention. There's something called germs. You understand? There's something called germ. But he's saying, okay, this is not what's going to defile you. If you're defiled, it's because of what's in your private area, your heart. And if I were to ask you this question, which I am, how often do you deal with your heart? And if you fail to deal with your heart, how often do you ask the Holy Spirit, God, come search my heart? See, that used to be a consistent prayer of mine. God, search my heart, God. And if you find anything in me that's not like you, purge it out, God. Wash it out, God. Dig it out, God. Uproot it, pluck it up out of my heart, God. Cleanse my heart thoroughly, God. See, this is how I would pray. But when you've been in something for a little while and you think you know you well enough, you'll deceive yourself thinking you know what's in your heart. But before you deceive yourself, all you got to do is listen to what's coming out of your mouth. And let me say this, just because it doesn't come out your literal mouth, because there is something called your inner voice. Right? Your inner voice or your conscience, we like to call it, right? Which is speaking. So even if it never comes out your literal mouth, have you paid attention to what your inner voice is saying? Because guess what? Your inner voice is not always right. That's what we were talking about when you're deliberating. This is your conscience, when you're questioning things that are true. How many times you said you didn't agree with the truth? How many times you said you didn't like the truth? How many times you said the truth wasn't right? Because guess what? The proof that you did not agree with the truth, your actions showed it. So when you hear us saying things like, now you know what the words say. You know what the words say. That was your proof that you did not come in agreement with what you knew was right according to the word. Oh, we all know what that's about. See, folks looking down at me now, ain't because I've been up here so long. You looking down because you don't want to come in agreement with what I just said. It's the truth. Truth that you've questioned about God's word, how you didn't come subject to it. And then things that we come. Because not only do we do psychological preaching, right? We're also doing emotional preaching too. Meaning, I want you to do some introspect. Look at your heart. Think about what your mind, what you think about, how you think about things, what you think about. Think about what you feel, why you feel what you feel, and why you would do what you would do. I want you to think about all of that. Because it'll show you where you're failing to come in agreement with God's word. Is it going to be commandment or will it be tradition? What am I saying? Tradition, meaning, will you keep on going about and doing things the same old way? Well, it ain't gonna never change. All we do is argue. So that's what y'all gonna keep doing? You just gonna keep making decisions, not conversing with your spouse? Well, he don't listen anyhow, so what? Keep talking till he get an ear to hear. I'm tired of talking. You ain't tired. That's what we tell ourselves. See, it sounds good when we tell ourselves that, because again, it shows that you are deliberating, questioning, and making a decision for yourself. This decision was not good for us. It was good for you. You're not tired. Because if you were tired, then why you keep doing the same thing? What change have you got by making a decision for us and not consulting me? You're not tired. So stop lying to yourself, telling yourself, I'm tired. Only thing you're tired of is you may be tired of having the same result, but you're not tired. Help me, Lord. So that's a lie that you tell yourself. Because the thing is, all your praying, God, change him. God send him. This is what God is saying to you while you praying, God, change him or God, change her. The change you want to see must first be seen in you. So he not, what God wants you to understand, you don't come talking to me about them. Go talk to me about you. Come talk to me about you. I'll deal with them. You come talk to me about you, though. Because see, some of us, we have lied to ourselves, tossed it around in our head that we are so submitted. We are so in agreement with our spouse. We do everything, I do it right. And we'll tell ourselves, no, I ain't perfect. I do mess up. No, you just, guess what? What you see in your spouse is what you see in yourself. Because we just told you that in Bible study. What you see in your spouse is what you see in yourself. I know you don't like it and you don't want to say it, but what you see in your spouse is what you see in yourself. So that laziness you see in your spouse, then guess what? We see laziness in you. Oh, oh yeah, them quick responses that your husband got, that your wife got, you got them too. They just in your private. They're not necessarily coming out yet. But let the right situation happen, and guess what? What was in your private is going to make its way out into the world. That stubbornness that you see in your husband, oh, you stubborn. You got some stubborn ways about you. See, nobody has just probed you, meaning no one has just searched you to let you see your stubborn areas yet. They there. Because see, rather you getting around somebody that who will probe you, you ain't going to talk to them other folk who ain't going to probe you. Because you figure you tell a little truth about yourself, they're going to leave. Well, they think they're going to respect you as you tell it. You ain't told no truth. I'm tired of hearing the same truth that you've been telling for the last 10 years. I almost said it. I won't say it. Because if I say that, boy, it's going to be problems. But understand, we got to stop playing these games with ourselves. You tell the truth about you. Stop living in the same testimony, the same struggle. That's what I'm talking about. Folk will talk about the same struggle, but they won't talk about how the struggle has increased over the years. We know you deal with lust, but what you're not saying is how lust has increased for you. How your appetite of lust has grown. Where at one point you had a standard dealing with lust, and now you ain't got no standard. Anything can turn you on now. Just whatever you can see, you willing to see. See, you ain't talking about that right there. So that's why you better let folks stop playing with you, because folk are coming there. You know what? I was struggling. No, what did you struggle with for real? All week, out of these 7 days, what did you really deal with? And anytime they want to come talking about lust, because we understand spirits comes in groupings, right? We understand lust ain't the only thing that was present. So I know you ain't just deal with lust all week long. What else did you deal with that accompanies lust? Whether that be anger, whether that be adultery, whether that be fornication, whether that be your greed. What else have you dealt with aside from you talking about the lust you dealt with? See, get around somebody that's going to probe you. We're going to stop playing these games. See, then Jesus can come in here for real. Then we can have liberty for real. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we can't get folk to abide in the truth, because it's the truth that you know that makes you free. Sick of these Monday truths. After we've been convicted on Sunday, you got a Monday truth. You can say, oh, man of God, woman of God, I was struggling at my job on such and such. Let's talk about Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday truths. Phone should be bombarded. Pastor Tamris is on paternal leave. He should be being bombarded. Man of God, I know you're trying to hold Ethan, but I got to talk to you about this right here. Man of God, I was struggling with my wife. Man of God, I need help. Man of God. Man, that something is wrong if the man of God is not being bombarded. I don't want to hear that lie. Oh, I'm trying to be respectful because they got the new baby. You think the devil going to stop because they got a new baby in the world? The devil is a lie. The devil ain't going to stop because they got a new baby in the world. And you think God didn't know that they was going to have them four children? You think God didn't know that they were supposed to be over the marriage ministry? So you think the devil going to stop because they got a new baby? The devil ain't going to stop trying you. And all the help they got, out of all the help they got over there, listen, hold Ethan and give me your ear for about 30 minutes. Yeah, I ain't got number one hand clap. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. It's the truth. We know Pastor Ivan have access to his phone all day, even though he's working, because we talk every day. I have access to my phone. You got a break on job. See, it used to be when you wanted God for real, you'd take your break on job. Man, listen, I just had to talk to you while I was on my break, man. I got to get this off my chest, man. I ain't going to let this devil win. I ain't going to get this devil no space. I ain't going to get this devil no room. But you'll let your break go by while your relationship is breaking, while your relationship with God is breaking, while your household is breaking, while your children are breaking, while your finances are breaking. And it's not a breaking in your flesh, but there is a breaking in your soul. And we're not talking about the good type of breaking. So are you going to live by commandment or tradition?
Tradition meaning you're doing these same old things. You ought to be tired of doing the things the same way and not getting the necessary results. You keep saying, see, tradition for you is God. I want to be free. I want to be free. I want to be free. No, you have everything at your disposal to be free. You have a Bible with instructions on telling you how to be free. So the next time one of y'all tell me you want to be free, I'm going to look you out of your face and say, stop lying, you foul devil. Because all you got to do is tell the truth and come subject to the truth. But you rather live by tradition. I want to be free. And on a Sunday, okay, you pray for me at the altar. That has become tradition for you. To talk a real good game and come to the altar and don't get up changed. The devil is alive. You ought to be tired of living according to tradition and live by commandment. You have been given a charge. Like Paul charged Timothy, God is charging you to walk in your liberty, to walk in the truth, walk in your deliverance, that you can be a witness unto other people. It is time out for these same old game. You ought to be able to get your household in order by now. Married or not, you should have order in your household by now. And if you don't, then you're telling me you're still living according to tradition. Meaning, you're going to keep fussing with the natural folk rather than taking your tail in the realm of the spirit and fight in the realm of the spirit. Because he said, weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down a stronghold. Go in the realm of the spirit and pull down the stronghold. It ain't the folk that you see, it's the ones that you don't see. Using the folk that you see. But you want to live according to tradition because it's easy to live according to tradition. But to live under this commandment means I must work to live under this commandment. Folk are lazy. Tradition was what's put in place. Well, this is what was already established. No, you're telling us you're lazy. Live according to the commandment and work. So I ask you again. Will you live according to the commandment of God, or will you live according to the traditions of men? Your family traditions, your old church traditions, your cultural traditions, societal traditions. Will it be the commandment of God or the traditions of your job? What would it be? Come on, put your hands together for the word in Jesus' name.